Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, Derek Chauvin was sentenced. Second, Lori Vallow has left the house. Third, an arrest in the Sam Olson case, but no charges for homicide just yet. Fourth, an FBI agent gets arrested. A doctor gets arrested. Details of the other missing Colorado woman case we talked about last week. A gruesome case in New Mexico. A pastor attempts to run away with a 13-year-old. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and also hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or when we go live. Like we did today, we covered the entire Derek Chauvin sentencing. All right. Not to say I called it, but I called it. I said last week at our live show, I thought the appropriate sentence was going to be 20 to 25 years. The judge, Judge Peter Cahill, gave Derek Chauvin a sentence of 22.5 years, 22 and a half years. The court found that there were aggravating factors which warranted a sentence greater than the 12 and a half year sentence that he probably would have guidelined out for. And the reason the judge gave that sentence is because of those aggravating factors of one, that he abused his authority as a police officer, and second, the way that he treated George Floyd with cruelty. He received 199 days of pre-sentence confinement credit. We won't go into all of that, but if you want to watch the entire sentencing along with my analysis based upon the 15-minute break that the court took before he imposed the sentence and announced the sentence, I encourage you to do that. We can put a link up for that as well. Next on the docket, records show that Lori Vallow has left the house. Not the proverbial big house, but kind of. She's left. She is officially out of the detention center where she was being held, presumably at the state hospital to be evaluated regarding her psychological fitness to stand trial and possibly restoration to competency. Now, my question would be, why did it take so long? But needless to say, she's gone. The thing that is going to make her life miserable, if it's like a lot of defendants that are in custody right now being transported, is that there are still COVID protocols. So assuming she has not been vaccinated, she will have to quarantine for some 14 days. Now, I'm not saying that because I know what's going on there in Idaho. I'm saying that based upon what I've seen on clients currently pending transfer to different facilities, and everybody's still having to do the quarantine if they move from facility to facility. Next on the docket, a third suspect has been arrested in the death of Samuel Olson. Remember the little boy, the five-year-old boy that was found in a hotel room? But coincidentally, no charges yet as it relates to the actual homicide of Samuel Olson. So a guy by the name of Dylan Walker, he was arrested just yesterday afternoon for tampering with a human corpse. And he's accused of booking the motel room where Samuel Olson's remains were found back on June 1st. Now, I was at a CLE in Houston, and this was kind of a big story down there, and we were covering it. It gets weird. Now, we also know that Teresa Balboa, that's the 29-year-old girlfriend of Samuel father, Dalton Olson, has been arrested, but she has not been charged with homicide yet. She's been accused of moving the victim's body and concealing the remains for 2 weeks, ultimately found in that hotel room. Now, Dalton Olson, the father, had been in a bitter custody battle with the boy's mother for the past year, and he's still facing questioning by the authorities. It's not exactly sure if he's in fact cooperating with them. There was reports that he had basically kind of disappeared and engaged in some radio silence. But what we do know is up to this point is investigators believe that Balboa, the girlfriend, had been watching the boy for several days before she called Rivera on May 10th and saying that the victim was deceased. The roommate told the police he returned home and found Samuel bruised and unresponsive on the bed. The pair then moved the body into the bathtub and kept it there for 2 days. Balboa and Rivera then put the remains in a box, dropped the container off at a storage unit, and left it there for weeks. Balboa then returned on May 31st, picked up the foul-smelling box, and brought it to a motel room in Jasper, which is about 115 miles north of Houston. The police found the child's remains the following day, and the woman was allegedly hiding in the bathroom when the police showed up. Tragic case. Hopefully they can figure out what they need to do. But as we've talked about before, the prosecution has to prove that it was a particular defendant that committed the crime. They probably can't prove that just yet. But why would somebody move the remains of a five-year-old if they were not the ones that did something to the child? Common sense. But as we've talked about, you have to be able to prove it. Hunches don't do it in a court of law. All right, next on the docket, something you don't hear about every day. An FBI agent has been arrested for sexually abusing children. Now, obviously, those are allegations, and he is given the presumption of innocence. In this particular situation, the FBI agent is David Harris. He is 51 years old, and he's been booked on charges of aggravated crimes against nature and indecent behavior with children under the age of 13. Apparently, back in February of 2021, allegations of sexual misconduct with multiple victims, both adults and juveniles, were made to the police. Police did an investigation, and they, in fact, uncovered evidence of multiple alleged criminal acts going as far back as 2016. Not a whole lot of information is being released as of right now, but the allegations are that they may involve children as young as 10 years old. We'll continue to follow that. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people get in a position of authority and power where they think that they'll be beyond reproach if somebody makes an allegation? Have you ever noticed that? Hey, let's take a look at this guy. A Florida doctor was arrested the other day because he allegedly sent explicit photos to 13-year-old boys and girls, and he claimed that he was only 17. Dr. Stuart Bittman was accused of portraying himself as a 17-year-old by the name of Matt. He was doing this on Snapchat. He allegedly sent some 1,700 messages via Snapchat to children. To get them to do what? That's right, to send inappropriate pictures. Now, obviously, we'll give the good doctor the presumption of innocence, but we know what's probably going to happen here, do we not? We'll see. Anyway, if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, if you have children or like even dating, I don't know what will. Let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, do you remember the case that we talked about? I believe it was last week, about a missing woman here in Colorado, and her husband was arrested. All right. The missing woman's name was Jepsy Kalungi, and the husband was Dane Kalungi. Now, This probably would have gone as an unsolved missing persons case, but this proves what I have said all along. It is always the defendant's own words that will get them. And when I say anything you say can and will be used against you, I mean it. It's not just to the police, it is including your ex-wife. Because Dane Kulungi apparently had to get it off his chest, and he had lunch with his ex-wife, and she told police what he said. And I'm quoting exactly what he said to his ex-wife. Quote, "I kind of like I grabbed her, and I guess it was just like a second when I got pissed off, but I didn't even feel that pissed off. It was like I just turned around and I was like, shut up, and I was sick of it. And I mean, really, I was just trying to literally stop the words from coming out of her mouth for a second. And then I realized that I did it for more than a second. And it looked like I did some damage and I freaked out and it looked like she was suffering." He continues on, "I wasn't sure if I'd already killed her. And I was like, the stuff you see in the movies about how people die, that is so not even how it happens. I was thinking about that and I was thinking about, like, you know, is she going to go to the hospital? And like, was she already dead? It was just a matter of time. And I like didn't want to watch her suffer anymore. I put her on the floor and it was like there was still some breathing going on, even though she was gone. And I just regretted that." He continues, "I had wrapped her up in my car, in the trunk, and I drove her to the fluorescent area on the back road. Got lost on like four different back roads and then found one where I could. I just went down and found a spot, dug a hole as deep as I could. I was digging until like 3 a.m. or something because it was like all muddy and really hard to dig in some places. And I started freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to start driving here because it's not in the middle of night anymore. So yeah, she was in my trunk. And then after work, I drove to fluorescent and found a spot. And like I just stuffed her and hold on a second. Yeah, I went to fluorescent and no, I like said goodbye to her before I put her there and tried to apologize a million times." Yep, that's what he said. You think that's a confession? Are you convinced beyond a reasonable doubt? Unless something was taken out of context there, that comes right from the affidavit. I would say things don't look good for Mr. Kulungi. That's for sure. We'll see how that goes. Mr. Kulungi is still being extradited back from New Mexico, but not looking good for Mr. Kulungi, that's for sure. Once again, what are we talking about in the Derek Chauvin sentencing? People don't realize how quickly one's life can change. It'll never happen to me. No. I'm telling you, it can happen to anybody. All right. Next on the docket, take a look at this guy, Joel Arsenia Sayens. That's right. He's arrested and charged with first-degree murder after he allegedly decapitated a man, right? You'd think that would be kind of gruesome enough, right? But when the police show up, they find blood on his hands, and he admitted that he was actually kicking the victim's head around, i.e. playing soccer with the man's head. This story just shows how much depravity human beings can have towards another person. Now, the victim in this case had been stabbed and obviously decapitated. The body was found lying face down when they found the victim, James Garcia, nearby. Arsenia Sayens was arrested and charged with that. Now, this isn't the first time the defendant has been charged with this. He was charged with murder back in 2017, but the case was dismissed because a key witness was found with a gun of the same caliber that was used to kill the alleged victim in that particular case. The prosecutor couldn't make the case, and guess what? He's back. Next on the docket, it's been one of those days, long docket. A pastor in Oklahoma has been arrested for allegedly asking a 13-year-old girl to run away with him. So how did he get caught? Well, the 13-year-old had enough intelligence to tell her mother, And then there were some recorded phone calls where the mother pretended to be the daughter. Eventually, the pastor, Manuel Moran Izaguirre, 53. Why would a 53-year-old want to hang out with a 13-year-old? Just not right. Anyway, the pastor pulled up in his car. He allegedly tried to kiss the back of the hand and then grabbed the girl while attempting to kiss her, despite the girl telling him that she didn't want to go. When the pastor was arrested, he stated that he simply wanted to give the girl his counsel. That's right. Mm-hmm. Nothing weird going on here. Trust me, right? Wow. Anyway, position of trust. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Next on the docket, how about something a little lighter, a little more cheerful? That's right, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Monday, do you recall Mr. Omar Wright? He went through the Starbucks and became rather upset because he did not receive his cream cheese on his bagel, and he began waving a gun. Now, the barista just happened to be the daughter of the police chief in town. Boy, some people have no luck. Tuesday, we have the South Carolina man who told cops he was assaulted by his girlfriend over 2 weeks because he'd got into an argument over s'mores. That's right. More food assault. S'mores. No party was arrested, but once again, goes to the general proposition that we've stated here on Crime Talk, which is don't use food to assault people. All right. Wednesday, we had Kanisha Booze. That's right, Booze, spelled just like the alcohol. She was charged with DUI and leaving the scene of an accident after she hit multiple structures, signs, and a gas meter at a Taco Bell parking lot. Yesterday, we had Shaft Bang Adams, who was being taken into jail, and when he was being subjected to the strip search, that's right, they found crystal meth in his penis foreskin. Now, don't you just kind of wonder, what was he thinking when he had that aha moment where he thought, I'll put my meth in my foreskin? Wow. Just can't make this up, ladies and gentlemen. You can't make it up. And finally, today, please meet Rosanna Denton. She was taken to the hospital. Her family was concerned for her safety. Apparently, she had been taking some drugs and was acting erratically. Her family warned the nurses that she may have syringes in her purse. Well, guess what? She didn't want to have her purse searched, and she then assaulted four nurses in the late night fracas in the emergency room. Needless to say, the police had to be called. Miss Denton was arrested for four counts of felony battery, and she was booked into custody. People were trying to help you, Miss Denton. You should have let them do that. But you have made it to the dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. If you are a winner, you will receive a Crime Talk mug at no expense to you, and you don't even have to assault anybody. I think I am kind of leaning, just saying, to the meth guy, but, you know, the voting is up to you all. Let me know in the comments below who the winner should be. It was a big day. Leave all your comments below about all the cases we talked about. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.